not through with that song, but I feel like, you know, when we come in here, especially somebody comes up for prayer like Brother Daniels, we're trying to get a hold of God for him. I think we ought to come out of our seats and get up here in the aisles in the worship area and try to help get a hold of God. Try to get our minds girded up to get a hold of God for whoever's got a need. So here we're trying to work on this, so I want us to keep singing that song, but let's get our minds on God and try to lift up the spirit here tonight. See if we can't get a hold of God for whoever's got a need. Amen. Would you be willing to help us with that? Bless the Lord. All right. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I lift my
I thank God for his love and mercy tonight. Thankful to be here again. I'm sure all of you know that last Monday night I was suffering. Kept calling around. Talked to my sister quite a bit, telling her my problem. Finally, I just voted I'm leaving here. I was in such pain, I couldn't think of anyone else to call on to ask for help. It just stuck in my mind. Maybe the VA hospital can help you. I took off. It was cold and windy. And I didn't know anything. They had admitted me. But I tell you, I'm afraid tonight, but I'm sure God can help me. When they got through examining me, they told me that anywhere from a year to 6 months ago, I've already had a heart attack. And I didn't know what was going on when I couldn't climb the stairs. I just thought, you getting old, dude. And I'm in a service. I come up the stairs from Bible study. And I just felt so bad that I started to go home. And it turned out that there was a lot of fluid on my lungs. But I'm asking God to help me be sensitive to his voice. I've got some decisions to make because my heart is damaged. I've got a defibrillator and I need God's touch. I promise God I still love you. I don't care what you do to me. But I just appreciate being here tonight, and I struggled all day today. I'm having a change. I can't lift my hands up over my head because the way they got me hooked up, it could start bleeding internally. And I've just been so used to raising my hands, I keep forgetting. I'm supposed to have on a sling, but I left that. But I appreciate God tonight. I appreciate coming in. I appreciate his touch tonight. I want to continue to trust him. I was sitting back there in my seat, and the song felt so good. I felt the Lord said, get up. I said, Lord, don't do me that way. Just let me sit here a while. And I found myself on my feet. I want to draw near to him. I just appreciate the Lord tonight and this wonderful family. Let me thank you for all your cards, all your jokes, all your insults. I enjoy them all because I know that you love me. A man said to me as I was leaving last night, Bill, your whole church been up here, hadn't it? I said, yeah, they're a wonderful, loving family, and I don't know what I would do without them. I've got a bag of medicine and still more to come. I'm having to learn to get dressed now. I had an appointment this morning to get my medicine, and I had to stop my niece. Come here, girl, let me use you a minute. I need help on put your socks and shoes on. But I appreciate God. When I got here tonight, the brothers finished dressing me out in the foyer. So I appreciate my loving family here tonight. Continue to pray for me.
It's been quite a while since I've said anything, so I wasn't here last Wednesday night. Occasionally, I have a day where I just feel unmotivated and just not much energy, so that's one of those days I had last Wednesday. And then 2 weeks ago tonight, I wasn't here, and the Sunday before that, because I had a nasty cold. So 3 weeks ago tonight, I was here, and we had a good touch from the Lord tonight, but to me, that service 3 weeks ago tonight just stuck in my mind. I mean, it didn't look too good from the natural point, because Brother Smith wasn't here, and we had less people than usual because of sickness, but it just seemed like everything that was said and all the songs just brought in praise and excitement, and it just, I think sometimes the Lord gives us those kind of touches to encourage us to know we'll just hang on, that there's greater things coming. But I believe it was Brother Tucker, either Brother Linger, that used to say, before this thing is all over, sin is going to be perfected. So, you know, in my wildest imaginations when I was growing up, I never dreamed we'd be living in a world like this. And so I was reading the Conway paper Sunday that during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, Chevrolet had two ads on there with two different gay couples. So, you know, they're just throwing at us from all directions. And then this star football player came out Monday and said he was openly gay. He's going to be the first openly gay player in the NFL. And he's in the same league with Arkansas, but it's his last year in college. So seems like it's just being thrown at us from every direction. And I don't get into TV preachers. I mean, the Bible says all tables are full of vomit. To me, that means that's false religion. But sometimes I watch Hal Lindsey because when he gets to talking about eternal security, I turn him off. But sometimes he says things pretty interesting. So a week and a half ago, he was talking about how we're being programmed in America that if you have Christian values, then you're prejudiced, you're bigoted against homosexuals and whatever. And he said that Kirk Cameron, who is a conservative actor, he was on the Today Show, and he was talking about how homosexuality was wrong. And Ann Curry, the moderator, she said, "You're talking hate speech." So anyway, it just seems like before this is all over, no telling how bad it's going to get. But anyway, glad to be here. And I believe in the Bible, but they're always throwing so many things at us. Like a couple of weeks ago, there was an article in the paper said that man had been here for 130,000 years. And then last week in the Conway paper, there was an article that said that they'd found a human footprint 800,000 to 1 million years old. So it gets kind of confusing about all these things they throw at us. And then today, there was an article in the paper that said in the time of Abraham, there could not have been camels in the part of the world that he was in. So it gets rather confusing listening to all this different stuff. But I still am going to go by the Bible. And I have several Bibles, and I read. They all have footnotes in them. But to me, it makes the Bible more interesting if they have footnotes. So I've got this archaeological study Bible. So in the third chapter of 2 Kings, it says, Misha, king of Moab, revolted against Israel. So in 1868, in Dabon, Jordan, they found a unique discovery. It's called the Moabite Stone or the Misha inscription. And on it, it talks about Jehovah being king of Israel, Chemosh being king of God of Moab, and Jehovah being God of Israel. So, and then it talks on there about how Amri, king of Israel, oppressed Moab. So all of that just, when you read that archaeology goes along with the Bible, that's encouraging too. And, you know, I think that the times we're living in, I mean, you know, I got to thinking, I think Brother Smith has mentioned this before, technology, that the Bible said knowledge shall be increased. And I think that applies to spiritual knowledge and natural knowledge. And, you know, about, what, a little over 100 years ago, we had the automobile, and now man has come so far. And then in the early 1900s, Brother Souders was dealt with to preach the gospel. So it seems to me there's a parallel as in the spiritual knowledge increasing and natural knowledge. And so I was watching on TV, I don't know, I may not be around to see it, but but they're saying in 20 years or less, we'll be having cars driving themselves, and they won't be using cell phones or texting, so they'll be safer. So anyway, I'm 71 years old. Brother Smith said, when you get 70, you're old, which is true. I mean, it's better to be on that side of 70 than this side of 70. But Brother Linger used to have a little different take on that. He said, well, I've seen old men. I mean, I've seen men old at 40 years old. So anyway, I feel like my nephews, 50 years old, I feel like I'm in better shape than he is. So every Sunday night when I go to Conway, I stop at the supermarket. So this young lady was the checker Sunday night. She had a hat on. It said, "Happy birthday." I said, how old are you, 17? She said, "You're the second person today that said that." So I'm 19. I said, "Well, I got some years on you. I'm 71. She said, "You don't look a day over 56. Probably didn't mean it, but it made me feel good. I know when I was working with Tim Velez about 20 years ago, I was in my early 50s back then. He said, "Well, he told me if I dye my hair, I could pass for 40. But anyway, I just feel like God has, I feel like the Holy Ghost makes you healthier and feel younger. And so anyway, it's so good to be here. I haven't said anything quite a while, and I just felt like I wanted to say something tonight.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I was just thinking, Brother Daniel was laid in the hospital bed last night, and he's in church tonight, so that's, that's a blessing. And he trusts in God. That's good. I love that. Love that, Brother Fleming, to be able to come to church and be able to reach out to God and to have an interest in the things of God. Well, we was blessed. I think it was 11 from this church that went to the Houston meeting, and it was a. So I was talking to somebody, and I said, "This has been a great meeting." He said, "No, that ain't good enough." Anyway, it was outstanding, very outstanding. And I mean, the first night, Thursday night, of course, I would say it was all about Cuba. Thursday night, there was a couple of ministers there that was there from Cuba, and they had a group that came and sang. And I mean, they were very what do you call it? The word who. The harmony, harmonious, that's the word. Very harmonious. But anyway, I think they had a meeting over there, Brother Dave's and Brother Wright and some of them, maybe some other ministers that was in Cuba for a meeting that they had. And these brothers came over to this meeting. And it was very, and what to me made it so special is that, you know Cuba's a communist country. And for them to be able to be in this meeting, you know, from that country, and the blessings, you know, they talk, of course, in Spanish, but they was interpreted. And it was very, I couldn't help but think, you know, being in a oppressive government and still, you know, have the desire, you know, that kind of lets you know God, you know, you can't, you know, box God in. You can't put him behind the Iron Curtain or anything else, you know, so he can still deal with people's heart. And that was special to me to know that no matter what your conditions, no matter what the circumstances are, you still can reach out to God. And that was very, very, very inspiring because, you know, like I said, knowing where they came from, where they are, you know, where they are in that country. And God is reaching out to his people. I really enjoyed that. Of course, Friday, Brother Wright really had a very inspiring talk. I'm not sure if you want to call it. He read a scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, 17. I don't know, it kind of jumped out at me a little bit because, let me see if I'm trying to quote it. I'll just go ahead and read it because I'll probably mess it up. But anyway, he read this scripture in 1 Corinthians. Well, he read more than that scripture, but I'm just the first one I think he read. But the scripture was, if you read this 15th, 16th verse, it's just talking about people joined together. You know, it's talking about the harlot and all that. But in the 17th verse, it said, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And what he was pointing out was, you know, that he also read a scripture in Luke. Well, there's a lot of scriptures in between, but I'm just going from one, you know, being one spirit with God, with the Lord. And And if you go to the extreme with that, when Jesus was, before he was crucified, he was on his way to Jerusalem, and they went through Samaria, and he had told his disciples, go and prepare, you know, for him. And they went to the Samaritans, and the Samaritans, you know, they didn't want to have nothing to do with it, so they wouldn't. They rejected him. So anyway, the disciples, it was James and John that was with Jesus, and their spirit was just command fire to come down from heaven and destroy him. You know, that's what they said. But you know, he rebuked them and said, you know not what spirit you are. And that's what he was showing that, you know. And having the right spirit is what he was after, you know, what he was working on. He gave us a lot of scriptures. I won't give you all the scriptures, but the point of it was that, you know, if we're even doing the right thing and in the wrong spirit, you know, then you miss the whole thing if you, no matter what you're doing, you know. The most important is to have the right spirit. Is to want to have the right attitude. For me, in order, I'm thinking, was it, when the scripture that said be joined with the Lord and to be in one spirit, I was just thinking to myself, how in the world am I going to be in one spirit with God? I was thinking, in order for me to do that, my take on it, you know, you have to put it through your own computer and get your own feel on that, but you have to be totally surrendered. You know, I can't be doing my thing, my will, you know, I'm going to have to be totally surrendered to be in one spirit with the Lord. And I was thinking about that. You know, we talk about it, and I appreciate it. That, you know, it's not like I'm going to come back from this Houston meeting and be in one spirit with God. I know better than that, but that's what, you know, we our endeavors, that what we're doing, our thinking. You know, I can, you know, I like Brother Fleming, he's a little bit older than me, but anyway, you know, I have a lot of life behind me and little ahead of me. So if I'm going to be in one spirit with the Lord, then I definitely need to be working on it. I need to be working on it. So anyway, that was Friday, and matter of fact, after that message Friday, it the Spirit moved in, and it was such an outpouring until I think about 2:30. You know, we normally eat around 3:00, but about 2:30, it was, you know, I think he just said, you know, let's go eat, you know. So anyway, we got out a little early that day, and it was a wonderful, wonderful covering of the Lord and that service. And matter of fact, it was that service, which was Friday, was an awesome service. And then I think the night service after that, I'm trying to, just y'all might make to help me with this. But anyway, I got, these are my notepad. I write on everything. But anyway, Friday night, you know, the band, that's what I, the band, was that Friday night or Saturday night when the young folks sang? That was Saturday night. Brandon was in there. Saturday night. But anyway, the songs were just outstanding. The band number, I think that was Friday, that was Saturday night, yeah, that the band played a song, and then the young folks, he had the youth of the body of Christ, the way they stated it, and it was just wonderful. Brother Peach was kind of saying that they should have turned the house out, but anyway, it was good, though. It was very good, and very good songs. I'm trying to throw some messages in beside Brother Wright's message was that was a message. I'm telling you, that was a message to carry home with you. But there was a lot of other good things said Friday night. I think Brother D.L. Jones, yes. Brother D.L. Jones talked Friday night. And he was very inspirational. I'm trying to get some of his thoughts here. But anyway, he got up and said, "I like what I see." And, you know, he's being blind. You kind of catch your attention a little bit. "I like what I see." I had to write that down because, you know, being a blind man, it's talking like that, you know. And he was talking about the Spirit of God. And he talked about a thought here about the God's mercy. And he talked about why when the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines and they finally, you know, had to send it home. And they sent it home, and it went through several little towns. And one of the towns it went through was Beth Shemesh. I believe that's the way I'm pronouncing it. And these people, out of their curiosity, they looked into the ark, and God smote 50,000 of those people for looking into the ark. And Brother Jones' thought on that was, to look into the ark, they had to remove the mercy seat, okay, that was sitting on the ark. And he showed God's how important God's mercy is. And that's what I got from what he was saying, was, you know, that lets you know God's importance or his interest that he's shown on about his mercy. It was that important to God that they had to remove the mercy seat to get to the ark, to get to, you know, to look in the ark. So he was pointing that out. I thought that was very, very good. I don't know if I've heard it like that before, but anyway, some good, very good thoughts. And then that was Friday night. There was some other Brother Sturgeon. You know, he was very touched by the service and the. Of course, he was, you know, pressing that, you know, we need, you know, the Spirit of God. We need to rely on the Spirit of God and be able to allow God to work in our lives. He was just encouraging, you know, just move out. Let's work with God. That's usually the tenor of his, I guess, his life. You know, he stresses that, and I appreciate that about him. Is just, you know, getting close to God and allowing God to work in our lives. And I mean, that's very important. And then that's Friday night. Saturday, which was the 8th, I believe. I don't know if I got it. I might have. I can't know if I. Yeah, here you go. Of course, the Friday was a. Of course, that's the offering day. So, of course, Brother Bud talked quite a while before he took up the offering. But I always enjoy Brother Bud. He, you know, talks about getting, you know, he had some comical things to say. But trying to see what scriptures he used. I didn't write a lot of scripture down. But anyway, he did good. Brother Dial talked after him that same day. Talking about, you know, this we're spiritual Jerusalem, and we're to, you know, try to realize that we're God's people. You know, that's what the body of Christ, and that's what I'm trying to, you know, we, you know, like I say, if you got God with you, and you're in God's plan, you know, we're working with God. Then I want to use the word we need to act like it. But anyway, he was trying to stress, you know, the body of Christ, and we're Jerusalem. One of the brothers in his church sang a song after that, Brother Minson. I don't know if you're Jerusalem. Very good song. And then Friday night, of course, our young people and very good move of the Spirit. That was moves of the Spirit, I guess, every day. It was Friday, Saturday, and Friday night, Saturday night. Brother Painter was there. Were you in a day service Sunday, Brother Painter? We left Sunday morning, but it was an awesome meeting. And who was that one? Brother Sharber. Yeah, let's see. What day was that he talked? He got so inspired talking about, was that Saturday night one? Brother Goodman, Brother Peach. He got so inspired, you know, saying that this is, you know, this meeting is not going to end, you know, here in Houston. He pointed out that it's going to go on to Jacksonville. It's going to go. I mean, he just kept going. And he was so inspired. He inspired me. Yeah, Brother Peach was encouraging, us to be a witness. Well, I look at from what he was pointing out and how that he was witnessing people when he was on the way back from the Philippines and the airplane and wherever, you know, and that we're to, you know, let our light shine. You know, the Bible said not to put your light on a bushel. You know, let it shine. So that's what we're to do. We're not to, am I going to put it on a bushel? No, we're going to let it shine. God has done something for us, and we need to, he really did. Our Brother Pete really was talking about different things and how, you know, some situation in his life about approaching people and people looking to him and calling on him to do things. And that's what we are to be, a witness for what God has done, you know, or what God is doing in our lives and how that God is helping his people. I appreciate having gone, and that's a brief report, Brother Smith. I mean, that's not... I could bore you with all these scriptures, but I wouldn't want to do that. But it was very good, and I appreciate it. You know, I'm not even going, you know, because the weather was so bad here in Little Rock. They was predicting forecasting snow Thursday and Friday and all. And but I was talking to Brother Payne. I said, well, if this weather get bad, like they say, I don't think I'm going. But after talking to Brother Smith, I got up here. Thursday morning, set the alarm off in church and all kind of things. But anyway, I had a brain lap. But anyway, I got to talk to Brother Smith and I could tell he was wanting to go to this meeting bad, but he was sick. I mean, I'm sure he didn't need to be out in that cold. It was cold. We left here. It was cold. And I said, look here, I'm so glad I decided to go. Thinking of Brother Smith wanting to go so bad and was so sick. And here I wasn't sick, but I was just kind of letting weather and these kind of things hinder me. But anyway, I was just so thankful that I did go. Brother Mike, I appreciate Brother Mike going with us. And it was good. It was worth the trip. And I don't know, I know whenever you do things for the Lord, and anytime you're doing God's work, working for God, then it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. The service is so rich. I mean, I appreciate, you know, Brother Daniels, just seeing him coming at the door, because I knew how, you know, I didn't think he was going to even be in church for the next week or so. You know, then here he walks in. And that's rich. I mean, to know that, you know, we're doing this for, this is God's work. You know, we're doing this, we're not just doing, you know, this is not just church. You know, it's not just, and somebody was saying playing church. And I used to tell them when we used to, little kids, not little kids, kind of big, but anyway, we used to play a game called marbles, you know, and you can play, and if you, you know, win the marbles, then, you know, if you're playing for fun, you just give everybody the marbles back and go home. But then sometimes you play for keeps. And when you play for keeps, then you, whatever you win, you keep. And I was thinking, you know, in this life, you know, we're playing for keeps. I'm sorry, but we're playing for keeps. You know, this life, we're not, you know, it's some bad things happen to us all, you know, and that's what I think about. I said, this, it's no game here. They're not playing a game. We're playing for keeps. You know what we do, and I know that the things that we do for God, if we're working and God knows our heart and He sees what we're doing, then it's rewarding, and you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong working for God, and that's what it's. I've seen that, through the time that I've served God. You can't go wrong. You can't. And I've gone to people that serve God, even if you have to go to their funeral. You know, it's a difference. I've been at a funeral where people didn't serve God. They didn't live kind of, and they just had to just say things, you know, things like that. They just saying, you know. And, but anyway, when somebody live a good Christian life and live for God, you don't just have to say things. Their life will show it, you know what I mean? You don't have to just make up something for them, you know. We want to be so let my, life be their testimony? Let my testimony be the life that I live? Something of that nature. But anyway, it is it is good to be here tonight and good to be among God's people and to be, you know, have the vision that we have. To be able to know that we can be, you know, we don't have to worry about, you know, if we don't, you know, live to a certain time, if we don't see the church restored in this natural time frame, but we know God hadn't forgotten us. If we are in the Lord, even if we die in the Lord, that's what we want to do. Let's be in the Lord. Let's get in the Lord, and whether we live or die, let's be in the Lord. And that's what our goal is to be in the Lord, you know. And that's, and I appreciate that those teaching on that. So anyway, it's been good. I enjoyed being with God's people, and it's to me when you know you go to these meetings, you kind of have to. Otherwise, you know, like these kids grow up, you know. You won't know them, you know, if you don't get around. If you don't, you lose track of people, and so anyway, we need to meet more often, and so we, you know our friends and our people that we've been known over the years. So it's good to be here tonight. So I don't know if you want to pray. Have prayer. Okay. Let's remember Sister Elsie. I don't know, brother. How'd you leave her, Brother Al? Not doing good. Let's remember Sister Elsie. Pray for her, her family. She always requests prayer for her family. They requested prayer for Chase, Sister Carl, and what's it, Carl and Sister Vanderbond. They said he had been in a coma like, 10 hours? Was that what they said, something like that? He's not doing very good. Just remember him, Chase. Ma'am. Remember him. Pray for him. Young man. All right. That was Brother Fisher. All right. She was suffering with the shingles.
Yes.
I found out Brother Truman Benfield has shingles.
Yes.
Okay.
He's had them for 4 months.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, it's really affected him.
Remember. All right. Yes. All right. Remember, Brother Mike. All right. Pray for him, Sister Lennon. Brother Dodson. Okay. Remember, Brother Dodson. Sister Sandra. Is it your brother-in-law? Okay, brother-in-law. Remember that tonight. Brother Oaks. Sister Oaks is sick. Remember Sister Oaks, Brother Stewart. I didn't get that one. Okay. Lynette, yes, remember Sister Lynette. Pray for Brother Painter. Okay. Clara and Ned. Okay. Remember them. All right. Anybody else? I guess you have other shoes coming. Pardon me? Sister Inez Watts. Remember, pray for her. All right. Okay. Stand. Lord, we thank you, O God, for this time. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Pray that you help us.
Thank you for your
touch us.
Thank you.
Lord, your will, let your will be done. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Children, their family.
Hallelujah. Oh, God. Suffer.
Oh, God, touch your sister.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you.
Sister.
Yes, Lord. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help him. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Oh, yes, Sister Crowe. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If he didn't want me, got to go to the Houston meeting, and I had been looking forward to it for a good while. And I have to say that this year's meeting was better than the last year's. I mean, it just seemed like when Brother Wright got up and spoke, and he was talking about that, you know, we've got to change our spirits. We've got to change. And he said, you know, he made a statement. He says about people want to wait till the prophetic hour, but it would be the pathetic hour. You know, and I thought, well, you know, like, I just kind of caught that, and I thought, kind of over my mind, I thought, Lord, but it pricked my heart. It really did, and it just seemed like that the Lord just covered that message. And the lady, and I think she's from Cisco, and she sang a chorus about, is it change me, oh God? And Lord, when she started that chorus, I mean, there was probably approximately about 1,000 people went through that prayer line, and I was one of them. And I'm telling you, I really, really got a good touch, really a good touch. And and it did. It lasted the whole day. He just at 2:30, he you know, let out. But it was just a good meeting. I would say that 99% of every minister that got up and talked, it was good. It was good. There wasn't no, you know, but it was just it seemed like the theme was changing, about changing and about the Spirit of God, and the songs were just really, really good, really good. And I enjoyed Brother Goodwin, and when he got up, it's kind of like it just built. I mean, he started out and he was really, really good, and then Brother Peach got up, and it seemed like the Spirit just. And then when Brother Sharper got up, it was just like the roof, blew. It just came off, you know. But, I mean, the Spirit just covered that. The whole meeting, it was a rich, 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 deep Spirit. And I tell you, I just sat there and I just took it all in. And I just soaked it all up, you know. And it was really a wonderful, wonderful meeting. And I tell you, when we drove off, I just kind of... I just hated to leave because it was just, I thought, if I could just, you know, live in that. And I know I've got to, you can't just be, you know, you got to change. You can't just, even if you're not at a meeting, you got to, you know, you still got to walk in the, you know, but just when you get with God's people, there's just something about it. When you get with God's people, it's just wonderful. I mean, it's just hard to explain, you know, because but anyway, I just wanted to say that it really was a good meeting, and I was glad to get to be with God's people.
Kind of told me, they said, well, before I had planned to go to the Houston meeting before I ever put in a notice, and they kind of let me know the day before, well, you put in your notice, you're not going to get paid for these 2 days. And I was just like, well, that kind of doesn't sit well with me, because I really need to be paid for those 2 days, because that's, you know, it's a good amount of money. But you know, I went ahead and went, and then come to find out when I got back, they said, oh, you know what, we went ahead and paid you for those 2 days. And I was like, well, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, he kind of gave me a little blessing. So, but the meeting, like Brother Tally and my grandma said, the meeting was just, I mean, phenomenal from the get-go. You know, a lot of, like they said, the meeting was based off, I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord, and then not only the Spirit of the Lord, but our spirits. And like my grandma said, changing our spirits. And I made a lot of notes about what Brother Wright said, but a couple that he mentioned were that if our spirit isn't right, the way we communicate with God is through the Spirit, and if our spirit isn't right, there's a disconnect. And that really sat with me, because I mean, I would think, how many times have I been in the wrong spirit and thought, well, Lord, would you just do this? And then, you know, of course, well, I don't get my way. Well, then it kind of clicked. You know, if my spirit wasn't right in whatever the situation was, you know, there's something there the Lord's trying to show me and get me to work on. And I get up now, and now all these thoughts have left my mind and my notes just run together. But really, it really did hit home because, I mean, in fact, at the last day of the meeting, we had song service, and I believe Brother Moore got up, and he was kind of talking about we need to watch and follow the Spirit. I believe it was him. I could be wrong, but someone was saying how we need to watch and follow for the Spirit, that's what the Lord told them at the beginning of the year. And he said, now I've been doing a lot of watching, and I'm looking for what to follow. I'm looking for the Lord's way to follow. And Brother Lester Talley got up right there. Basically, he gave the last little talk before the meeting just hit off with the end. And he just got up and he said, wow, does it smell good in here? The Lord is so... He was saying how the Lord had really blessed the meeting, and he said he had had an experience during the song service that morning where, I think like he described it, a puff of air went into his nose. And he said, I kept trying to recreate that feeling that I got of this puff of air going in my nose, and he said, I just couldn't do it, so I know it's not humanly possible, and I know God gave it to me, and he told me that this meeting, it smells good, that this offering before the Lord smells good. And so, I mean, if you could just, you know, we always describe it kind of feels like waves when the Spirit comes in. I mean, it just started from the right side of the building, and it was just waves coming in, and it just... Like, it hit us. I know I was sitting on a row with, there was about three rows of youth. And, I mean, it started at the end, and I looked down, and they just all started speaking in tongues, and it just kind of traveled on like that. And, I mean, the next couple hours, that's the way it was. It seemed like there would be a good message or a good couple messages, and then the Spirit would come in and just back it immediately. And it lets you know it was, I heard a statement before, you know, about how we start service with songs so that, you know, our heart can be, What's the word? Like the soil in our heart can be loosened up, basically. And then the word of God's planted. And then you can have a song afterward that will root it down in our hearts. And that's basically what happened was, I mean, it's just the Spirit backed everything that was said. And Brother Brown talked, I believe it was probably the last day. And he was talking about how we can't hinder the Spirit of the Lord. And that he said... We're searching for all this truth, and we're thankful for the truths we have, but we need that Spirit, because without the Spirit of God, we won't ever have the full truth. And I thought about that because a lot of times we say, he talked about Brother Sheldon, who was alive during Brother Souder's time, and how he was only for the Spirit. You know, he was all about the Spirit, but he could never get the Word planted down in his heart. And he said, and that's where he lacked. He said, we've got to get that Word planted in our heart, but we can't forget about the Spirit of God. We cannot hinder the Spirit of God. And I thought about that. I said, Lord, when I come to service, don't let me be a hindrance to your Spirit. And, I mean, if I could just tell you all the things that were said, I'd love to. I was talking to somebody earlier, and I said, I highly, highly recommend the DVDs, because, I mean, on the way home, I made so many recordings on my phone. On the way home, I was just blessed over and over and over. And I was kind of sad because, you know, you're leaving the meeting. And all the youth kind of talk about, what do we call it? Something like post-meeting syndrome. Something like that. I don't remember what they say. But basically, it's about when we leave the meeting, how depressed we really are. Because we're with all our friends and the good services. And then we go home and we're just like, man, we miss everybody. And so I was kind of feeling down when I left, and I just put on some of the recordings that I made, and I went back over my notes, and I just got blessed all over again, you know. And so the something that stuck with me that really really hit home with me during this meeting was the youth choir song that we sang. It's called I Am Persuaded, and it was written by, I believe, a lady there in Houston. And it talks about, the verses all talk about submitting yourself to the ministry and staying clean from the world and things like that. And then the chorus goes into it, says, I'm persuaded, this old world, basically it says, this old world would have me bound, but I love this peace I found. And every time that we came to that part of the chorus, I was just rejoicing in my spirit because I'm so thankful for this peace that we found. I know I have a friend from another church that he left the body. He had some disagreements, and he left, and I was talking to him about it one day, and I said, well, do you regret your decision, or how do you feel about things? And he said, if I could do anything, I'd walk back through those doors right now. He said, I miss that peace that I felt that's in the body. He said, don't ever leave the body. He said, no matter what you do, no matter what's said, no matter what goes on, he said, don't leave the body, follow the ministry, and stay with his people. And that's just stuck with me. It kind of hit home during that meeting because I was thinking, you know, I'm getting ready to move here, and some people had mentioned they thought I was gone already, but I'm moving Next Thursday morning, I leave very early in the morning to get up there and take care of some business before I start work the next week. So I'll be here, you know, obviously I'm here tonight and then Sunday. But it just really hit home. I'm about to make this big move, and no matter what, I just want to go with God's people. That's really my desire, is to go on with God's people, no matter where the Lord places me in my life. You know, I'm so grateful that I've got, you know, I have to go to graduate school to finish out this degree, but there's a location that I can go and I can stay with his people, and I can work and I can be a part of an assembly. And I'm just really thankful for that. So, I mean, overall, if I could recommend anything, I'd say get the DVDs, because they're phenomenal. But post-meeting depression, that's what it's called. Yeah, I was trying to think about it. And I mean, even like when we got back, I mean, I've been close to certain friends in the body, but this meeting, I just got so much closer with more people than I have in the past. And we all started this group text message. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And I mean, work, it's like you take vacation and you come back to work and you're like, I need another vacation to recuperate from my vacation, because work was just crazy. But they started this group text message, and they were just really, all the other youth were just so encouraged that it encouraged me. And they were talking about how they look forward to what God's doing in the body and where God's leading us, and all the things. And it just gave me hope. You know what I mean? It gives me a hope that there's other youth that are my age or even younger or a little bit older, that they have that same vision, that they want to go on and they want to see the church restored and they want to see what God's going to do. And it's just, it was such an encouragement. It really was. And so I'm thankful I got to go.
I called Brother Wright and ordered the DVDs. I think it was Friday morning before their service started, and made sure they were paid for and everything. But Brother Painter brought back the report that they had technical difficulty and that they didn't have the DVDs ready, and it'll probably be a couple weeks at least before they get them out to us in the mail. So we'll get them for you. And the general meeting's always good to watch, and kind of you can generally get the feeling of it. And so we'll get them. We did get to meet the minister's tapes back from Brownsville. Brother Painter will be making copies of them. So, just want to let you know that they're on their way. And then Brother Brandon he's going to be relocating to Wichita to finish school. And somebody asked him on Facebook why he was really moving. I think they thought maybe there was a girl involved, the way they put it. But his answer was for church and for work and for school and for work. So I know he's got to get his graduate school but we're going to miss him, aren't we? And so he starts work, he told me tonight, the 24th of February. So that's only about a couple of weeks away, a little less, about 12 days away. So when are you moving? Next Thursday. So be sure you let him know how much you appreciate him and all his efforts here with us. And tell him how you wish he wasn't going, and he shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't leave. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't tell him that. I gave him my blessings, but I am going to miss him. And if I had my druthers, I'd try to get him to stay here. But anyway, yeah, we're going to leave a little string tied to him. Maybe he'll finish that graduate school and come back and help us more. But whatever the Lord does in his life is what's important. And so keep him in your prayers. It's a new endeavor and the first one of this magnitude for him. And so Let's keep praying for him. Praise God. Good to have Brother Nate back. He's becoming a Wednesday night regular. Praise God. We appreciate him being here. All right, I'll back up here. Give us your take on it. I guess everybody's waiting on you to see who else went to the meeting is going to say something.
I was kind of hoping my girls would get up and say something about going. We, you know how it is, like Brother Talley said, we're just so busy that so many things going and we had planned on going, and then it just didn't look like we were going to get to. And but I just felt impressed and to clear my schedule, and the Lord rewarded us mightily. It was we had a good safe trip down there, and you know, snow and freezing rain, and it was crazy the weather. I never thought I'd see snow in southeast Texas, but I sure saw it. And but we had a really good meeting. My notes aren't very complete, but I will tell you that I the men that impressed me the most, it just seemed like every man was gentle. It just seemed like their words were gentle. They were longing for peace and unity. And honestly, Brother Smith, it felt like an extension of our minister's meeting, where it just, everyone was so just glad to be there and just willing to just follow the leading of the Lord, and just happy that they were together and in fellowship, and the Spirit of God was strong. I just really appreciated it. It really made an impression upon me, seeing even Brother Ross. What happened there at the last day, the Cuban young people got up and sang, and boy, they could sing. I mean, their harmony was fantastic. And they got up to sing, and the Lord moved in, and the brethren, they started praying for each other there on the platform, and Brother Ross was getting prayed for, and different ones. It was just fantastic. It just like everybody was just, you know, like I said, just happy to be with each other and recognize their need for each other. And you know, I feel that even here tonight. I appreciate what you said tonight, Brother Smith. You know, Brother Daniels, we love you, Brother Daniels, and we're sure concerned about your welfare and truly. Was happy to see you come in tonight, and you know, what bonds us together is the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God, true, but really, in my estimation, the Spirit of God is what really helps knit us together, and the love that we have for each other. And just, I'll tell you one funny thing that I got. Brother Moore was up talking, And this wasn't his line of talk, but it sure seemed funny to me whenever I considered it. He was talking about how that we're to be a mirror image of Christ, that when people see us, when they're looking at us, they're to be seeing Christ, not us. And my mind, I apologize in advance, but my mind shifted to one of those mirror fun houses. You know, you walk through one of those fun houses and they got these mirrors and they're all curvy and distorted. And I thought, I know that when people look at me, they see a distorted image of Christ. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes, you know, I'm, you know, short and you know, wide. Sometimes I'm tall and slim. But I'm looking for the day whenever they look in that mirror and there's no distortion. It's just all they see is Christ. There's no disfigurement. There's no poor reflection. There's no bad spirit. There's no iniquity or frustration. There's no anger. There's nothing but just pure and simple love of Christ and a reflection of Him. And so, like I said, we had a wonderful time, and it was hard to leave. I didn't know what the weather was going to do on our way home, and the closer we got to Arkansas, the colder it got, and the rain set in again, and but it was really hard to leave. It was a wonderful time, and I look forward. I don't think I'm planning on going, but I'm looking forward to our youth going to Godfrey. I think, you know, there's going to be a carryover from the Houston meeting, I think, into that meeting. And I hope and pray, Brother Smith, there's carryover for your meeting and the Dominican and the minister's meeting coming up in Jacksonville in April, I guess. We're living in a good day. It's a good day to be in the body of Christ. It truly is a blessing. You know, it's a wonderful blessing for all of us to feel what we feel and to be a part of this. And like Brother Brandon said, I want you to know, Brother Brandon, he's a good guy. He worked with me and I worked with him. We both kind of got thrown into it, and we learned how to work with each other. And I'm going to miss him. I miss you a lot, Brother Brandon. I know you'll do well, and I pray for your success. But like you said, you leave that meeting, and you just feel kind of that letdown. But come home, start talking about it. That joy starts rising up, and here we are. We're happy and glad to be in the house of God. And like Sister Pryor's song, He wouldn't have called us if He didn't want us. He wants you tonight. Be assured, your hope, your joy lies in the body of Christ, and yield to that. Yield to that calling that God's placed on your life. He brought you here for a reason. Praise God. So that'll be the extent of my testimony. Maybe if the usher take my daughter. I guess Natanya snuck out on us, but Lila might tell us a little bit about it.
This last meeting, it was a very good meeting. I got blessed to go with Brother Tally. Thank you for letting me ride with you, Brother Tally. That was another part of the blessing. I got to ride down with him and ride back. And getting to go down, we talked about anything and everything, and it was all good. And we got down there on that first night. We got blessed with the sister, you know, his brother in there, the Cubans, and as you heard everybody say, it was amazing how they sounded. Just that right there, their singing was mingled. It was so mixed. It sounded like professionals. And how they, the story with that was they got their visas by standing out there and singing. They got it because they wanted it so bad. They stood out there and sung in the embassy, and they was touched for singing. So they brought them in, and I believe they gave them their visas, five-year visa, because they was touched. And that was amazing. You know, they just that touched the embassy or the government down there, and to give them what they needed or what they wanted. And that started it off right there, knowing that we got people down there in that kind of country that is locked up in a country, but that's the body of Christ down there. We still got people down there, but the Lord let them come up here and then bless us. Then we got something from that. And so we had to turn it around and give it back to them. That's the way you start off a meeting, and we received it. And that was a good way to start the meeting. Then each brother got up, and sister, one another part that really touched me was Sister Karen Peach. She had a part about her cancer, and that was a part that was a part that really touched me. She put her problem in the Lord's hand. So many people's already got up and mentioned things that that happened in the meeting, but unity was one of the main things, and how we could change, and our brethren, our ministry is working together, has come together, and it was sort of bled over how we had in our meeting here. Our ministers is coming together and working together. We got to reach a point, and we are reaching a better point in the body of Christ, and there's where we know we're going forth. We're not falling back. We might be going forward a little bit at an inch at a time, but we're not falling back. Brother Smith, we are moving forward slowly but surely. We're making progress. In years past, there's been people that fall back, fall out. As someone said earlier, some people have fallen out of the body of Christ, and the Lord's let them back. The Lord's put them back in. And I was one of them. But then here's some of the ministers that have been gone for years ago, but the Lord's put us all back together. And now they're all working together. All of them got up, and a lot of them got up and had some good messages. And we got them. Each and every one that got up had something tremendous to say. And one thing that I got, I think Brother Talley was there, on this, most everybody knows, Brother Watson, he's retired. He says he retired, but if you're around him, you always get something from him. And he sat out there in the congregation through the whole meeting, and he's got his own little section. And he in between services, he was sitting there, and this will always be with me. He sat there, and he was talking about biscuits and gravy. You think that's an odd subject? It is. But I got a message out of that one on that, how to eat your biscuits and gravy. And think on that for a moment. I think I might get up a little bit later on and tell you on the interpretation on that, on the biscuits and the gravy, because people eats it different. Everybody eats biscuits and gravy different ways. Depends on where you're from, if you're from the north or from the south. He did not give me his interpretation, but my interpretation was, if you break up your biscuits and cover it up, or you put your gravy in first, but I'll give you later. But he sat there and told me that, and I got a message from that, and that was from Brother Watson, and I'll give you that later.
y'all got Brother Weiniger wanting to go to a meeting. He wants to go now. I think he wants to go tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate the good reports about it, because I do feel like it's important to go to some of these meetings. I know it's hard right now, you know, with everyone working, and it's difficult for everybody to be able to go, especially to all these meetings, but I do think you ought to try to go make some of them, because it will enrich your, not only your walk with God, but your vision of the body of Christ. You'll realize that you're in something that's great. And it's getting greater. God is working. He's restoring his church. And so I know that there's nothing but good things ahead. There's good days ahead. How's that? What is that song that we sing? It's going to get better. We sing a song about that it's going to get better, huh? Well, that's an old one but the body says, there's a body song talks about, you know, something about it going to get greater or better or something. I can't get the word. That's not the words. Best is yet to come. There you are. See, Brother Daniel, we need you. He's telling me tonight about his, you know, he's feeling, you know, the doctors give him not such a good report that he'd had a heart attack and he didn't even know he had it. I told him, I said, I really feel like, Brother Daniels, you're going to be around for a while. I said, just keep looking up. He said, my flight's not fitting to leave. I said, there ain't even a reservation for you, brother. So we're going to keep you, Brother Daniels. We need you. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. But I agree with what Sister Bryant said, that, in quoting Brother Wright, that if we keep waiting for the last prophetical hour, it'll be pathetic. If if we're not doing all we know to do, we won't do anything when it gets here. But we need to do all we can do right now. We need to, and I talked on that Sunday, I still believe we're living beneath our privilege. I think there's more available. Just step into it. I will be for you if you want to try the spirits. You know, just see if God's in what you're feeling. I'm not, you know, I'll go for, I don't know, Brother Talley's puff of air or whatever it was. I said, when whoever said that, I said, it must have been burning flesh. Because that's what God was, a sweet smelling savor to God, was when a flesh was on the altar. And of course there was also incense in the holy place. That was a better smell. But it started out with the fire on the altar burning flesh. But there are scriptures that we could go to tonight to show you that God loved to smell burning flesh. But it smelled good to God, so God may let us get a good smell of something, so we get the understanding that it is good to the Lord. And but I'll go with you a long ways in you seeing if God, you know, is wanting you to move into an area that you've never moved into before. I'm for that. I'm for us releasing, trying to get a release where we can try to feel out, as long as we're trying to get a hold of God and there's not too much flesh working in it, I'm for trying it. if you feel like it's God. I'd rather feel like God wants me to do something and me try it and miss God than I had to not do it and wonder whether or not God was dealing with me or not, and did I fail God? I've had experiences like that. Back when I first got saved, God had me give out messages in tongues, and at first I couldn't. There's no way I could have held it back. If you'd have taped my mouth shut with duct tape, it'd have blown the tape off, I think, or blew my head off, one or the other, because it was so powerful I couldn't stop it. But then the Lord, you know, dealt with me later that He shouldn't have to just nearly knock me down to get Him to obey Him and give out a message in tongues. And then I've interpreted tongues several times in my walk with God. That's harder to have faith to do, because you're giving something in understanding. And you want to be right. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, your mind get mixed into that. But there was times that I quenched that, and I'd go home and feel like, God, I'm sorry. I'd feel convicted because I felt God dealing with me, and I didn't obey Him. I, same thing about maybe testifying. God dealing with you, you know, your hands get sweaty and your heart goes to beating fast, and you feel like you're supposed to do something, but you just sit there and, you know, don't do it. And then you feel bad about it later. Well, God's training us. See, that's how God trains us, to learn how to be obedient. He's patient with all of that. But I think He wants us, you know, there's a place in that of walking in obedience and finding that one Spirit when we're joined to Him. You know, I think there is one Spirit in this body you won't find anywhere else. We're joined to up with the Lord in a measure anyway, but we are looking for that total hookup, that complete hookup in God. So I'm not going to preach. It's getting late, and I want to let you go home. But I am. We do have the meeting in the Dominican Republic. Starts the 5th of March. There's several. I know brother and sister, Brother Jimmy Dickens and Sister Janice Dickens now, which was Bill Supmiller's wife, and then she married Brother Horton and was in Republic, and then they moved to McAllister, and then he passed away, and then she married. Well, when he passed away, you know, she's like my cousin. I mean, I've known her ever since I was a little kid. Her and Bill got married. I was still a little kid. Bill was 9 years older than me, I think. But we were close like brothers after I got grown. You know, I used to, back in those days, you only had AM radios. And when he was courting Janice, well, me and my brother would, they'd set out, their mamas and daddies wouldn't let them go anywhere, so they'd have to sit in a car in court out in front of the house. And so we used to, you know, they wasn't paying any attention to what we was doing, so we'd get down and crawl out there to that car. I can remember running my hand up the side of that car and getting a hold of that antenna. Because if you do that on AM radio, it'll stop it from playing. Back then, I don't know if they fixed it today, but back then you could stop a radio from playing by touching the antenna if he was grounded. and they had, you know, all their music had quit, and of course they had it cranked up. You know, they was in there talking. They didn't want nobody to hear what they were saying. I caused them a lot of misery every time I got a chance. Anyway, when Brother Horton died, Janice had already took care of Bill. He was bedfast and sick for years, and then Brother Horton was real bad for years. So I was just kidding, but I told her when Brother Horton died later, I said, look, don't you remarry. Because I said, if anything happens, Dan, I'm going to take you. I'm going to get married to you, because I said, you can take care of me from, you know, I know you've got experience. I know you'll take good care of me when I get old and feeble. And so I went to the convention center one time, and she was standing there, and I walked in, and she said, oh, she said, Brother Smith's going to marry me when his wife dies. Whole bunch of people. I could have crawled under a pew. Anyway, we kidded about that, though. And so when she up and married Jimmy Dickens after Sister Dickens passed away in Springfield. And they seemed to be really happy. But when I saw her after they got married, we was at the campground, and I walked up to her. I said, what have you done? What have you done with our plans? And she said, I know, I don't know. She just didn't know what to say. And so later I told her, though, I said, I walked up to her in the dining room when she was eating at the campground, and I said, Brother Dickens, I want you to know I'm all right with you marrying Janice. I said, I've been thinking this over. I said, in matter of fact, I was having second thoughts anyway, because every man she's married has died. I said, so I'm praying for you, and I'm glad you're there instead of me. So anyway, Brother Dickens and Sister Dickens is going to the Dominican Republic with us. And they want to go a week. They want to go stay 10 days, so they're going to go ahead of time also. And then Brother and Sister Veely from Georgia called, and they got tickets to go the weekend ahead of time. They want to visit some of the churches. And then Brother, there's a sister up in Bowling Green that's going. She's going over there for like 10 days or so, and 12. And then Brother Raphael from Maryland, him and his wife are going, and there's 10 men in his church that are going with them. So there's, you know, that's all right now that I know, but I know there's others talking about it. So pray for the meeting in the Dominican Republic. And I wish some of y'all would be able to go, but I understand when you can't. And then I would really like for this church to pray. You know, Joel, he fell in love with this girl that was out of Brother Emilio Green's church in La Romana. And he kept trying to tell me he was, because she wasn't in the body. She got out of church. Her mother and dad were divorced. And when she got old enough, she moved to New York where her dad lived, because he was a United States citizen. And she moved there, and of course, this is hard for y'all to fathom. It's hard for me to fathom. But every parent over there would gladly give their child up to come to America to live and become a citizen. They would promote it and try to figure out every way they could get them here, because they know it's a dead-end road where they live. And every parent's trying to get their kids over here. And so, Joel, he knew that he wasn't supposed to get involved with a girl that wasn't in the body. And, of course, that's tough. But when you only have a few assemblies, and, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, it's just pretty, it's, you know, these kids, they're like brothers and sisters. You know, the boys in here, they don't get hooked up together too often. They're always looking way down the road, across three or four states. You know, who can I find when they got the right guy right here? And the same way with the girls, you know. But they're too close, you know. They feel too close anyway. Anyway, I'm not trying to, you know, rearrange y'all's lives. I know I was young too, and I didn't want to marry my sister. But anyway, so Joel, I've asked different ones over there. I said, well, is there anybody in Brother Green's church? He's like, no, I don't, ain't none of, where, that's my, like my brother, you know, or my sister. And They looked like to me they'd work all right together, you know, but, you know. But anyway, so Joel, he finally gave in, you know, that he did like this girl. And he wound up going to New York and wound up marrying her. And of course, he wasn't legal over here. And he married her. Well, you think he's going to leave her and go home? So he's, you know. But now, he's married to her, so it takes a certain amount of time. Just because you marry somebody today doesn't mean you're going to get American papers. Not for some time. It's going to take time. And sometimes, if they catch you, they'll send you back and separate you. And you won't come back either, not until you meet all the requirements. So, but anyway, he's living in New York with his wife. And and then Joselo, he went to San Antonio, Texas, to go to Afghanistan to train dogs. They can make $3,000 a month going to Afghanistan training dogs to smell drugs and all that kind of stuff. But his last test, there was something wrong with his kidney or bladder infection or something. They wouldn't take him. So he left there and went to his grandma's in New York. Well, I don't want to make a long... I'll try to make a long story short. His mother didn't have correct papers in the Dominican Republic when he was born. So they showed him on papers as being her mama's baby. So on papers, his grandma's his mama on paper. Well, she's got a residency in the United States. So when he left San Antonio, he went to New York to try to see if he could stay with his grandma and get a residency over here. Well, there's several things that have happened. But to make the long story short, we've got young people from the Dominican Republic that have a vision of this body that really want to come to the Little Rock. And I wish y'all would pray with me, because I don't know what to do with them. You know, especially if they're not legal. But they're here and they're in a body church, but they're going to Haitian churches over there and they speak Spanish. They don't understand what's going on in those Haitian churches. Some of those churches, somebody can speak Spanish they sit next to, but you know what that's like. You don't really feel apart. But they are learning. They are learning English. I mean, Joel can speak English really good now, and his wife speaks English fluent. And Joselo, I talked to him the other day on the phone. He spoke in English the whole time we talked. Really good. I could understand everything he said. And funny, he was talking to me in English. I was talking to him in Spanish. Just because you can talk it don't mean you understand it all when it's talked back to you. So sometimes it helps if you can hear some things, you know, more clear. But anyway, I really do wish y'all would pray, because I would really like to have some of the Dominican people here if the Lord would be in that. I think it would help our assembly to tie the works together maybe a little bit more. There'd be more travel back and forth. But I'm just praying and asking God to help us and direct our steps in all of that. So, the youth meeting, the 21st, is coming up pretty quick in Godfrey. It's a regional meeting, but some of our youth want to go, and I'm for helping our young people get as much of this as they can get. And so, I hope you're going. If you're not and you want to go, well, let us know and we'll try to make a way for you to go. Praise God. All right. I appreciate this night, Brother Painter.
I just wanted to talk about the sweetheart dinner.
Oh, okay.
This Saturday night. We'll be starting at 6 o'clock. If my wife hasn't contacted you, we'd like to know what your song is. You know, most couples have a song, And if you don't say it out loud, if you would, keep it to yourself, but please text or message my wife with your song. We're planning to start at 6 o'clock. There will be some young people that will be working with us, and they have their instructions to be here at 4. There will be childcare, and we will have some food for the workers as well as the children that will be working. The menu will be, right now the menu is like a four cheese lasagna as well as chicken fettuccine Alfredo from DiCarlo's here in Little Rock, which is gets a 4-star review on Urban Spoon, if you're familiar with that. So it should be very good. And of course, it costs $15 per person. If you haven't texted my wife that you're planning to be there, or if you haven't, let me know. Please do so tonight so that we can make final arrangements on how much food to order and preparation. Thank you.
Also, this sweetheart dinner, it's not a Valentine's dinner. We don't, we're not into Saint Valentine's deal. But it started years ago. Brother Doug York came up with it. He knew that our young people and different ones, were, when they, especially new people would come in, he just felt like it would be a good time somewhere during that time of February if we would do something for our wives or, our sweetheart. It would, if we could just have something in our church that, had that meaning in it, that we could have fellowship and that we would show some feeling, something that we could do and we could have together. And so I approved of that, and we've just had it every year since. And, of course, we've had some really good times. I still remember the time that they had all the sisters pull off their shoes and throw them in a pile and put us men in the other room and let us out and said, "Find your wife's shoes." Well, I knew I needed to look for the little bitty ones. That's all I knew, because I didn't have a clue what kind of shoes she had on. But there was several little bitty ones in there. I didn't get it right the first time either. Or maybe not the second, I can't remember. But anyway, we've had some good sweetheart dinners, and I'm looking forward. As a matter of fact, I was going to the Dominican Republic. I had plans to leave this week, and I changed my plans so I could be at the sweetheart dinner because I just felt like that, if the pastor doesn't feel strong enough about it to be here, then why should I? So I want to be a part of what y'all are doing. I want to blend my spirit and be part of whatever we're doing. I want to be a part of it. So I just changed the plans, and I'm going to wait till next week to go. I figured out how to do it. Praise God. All right, let's stand and give God a praise before we go home. Keep praying for Sister Elsie. I've been by to see her a couple times this week, and she is getting weaker. I'm still praying. God, you can still do a miracle on her. But if the Lord sees fit to take her, well, I'm willing to release her and let her go. But I don't want her to go. But I just want to keep praying, keep lifting her up, and asking God to help them and the family. This is hard on Sister Gail. Has basically took a leave of absence and given up all of her salary, and it's hard on them financially. She's right there with her mama 24/7, and her mama don't want her to leave her side, and it's hard on Dave, and then Brenda and Wes has come down to stay. It's hard when your life's totally disrupted. It's hard on everybody. And yet, nobody feels like they're put out by it, because they love her and want to help her and want to be there for her. But still, it's stress. And so keep praying. She went home on hospice, and to die is what she felt like. You know, I'm tired of fighting, but she still got quite a bit of life in her. You get around her, but she is getting weaker, so keep her in your prayers. All right, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your mercy. Oh, God, go with your people. Touch this assembly, Lord, and those that our lives touch. God, help us to be a witness. God, use us some way for your glory. Help us to be aware, Lord, that we're to be a shining light for you. Precious Lord, we pray. Oh, God, go with each one, Lord. Direct our steps. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.